Our reading for this last Wednesday was our Old Testament lesson last Sunday from Jeremiah chapter 31. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Over almost 30 years of pastoral ministry, I have seen many things. But I've also seen things that repeat themselves over and over and over again, particularly couples in my various congregations over the years. Perhaps they're just aging, or perhaps they're struggling with one of the partners having a disease like Parkinson's or Alzheimer's or whatever it is. And one of them spends a great deal of their life caring for the other. And there's, you know, some of you know this firsthand. There's the whirl of doctor's appointments and medications to be taken on time and therapies and therapists to get to on time. And one member of the couple ends up being very close to a full-time nurse caring for their loved one. And then very often the situation progresses and gets more difficult, and perhaps one of them can no longer walk without aid, with a walker first, then perhaps they become bedridden and the care needs get more intense. Many of you have been there and done that and know how that is. Finally, perhaps one of the partners ends up in a nursing home. And even that doesn't mean that the caregiver's work is done. They go there almost every day, caring to make sure that their loved one gets the best care, helping with feeding, dressing, and all of those things. And sadly, finally, often one partner dies, and then there's the funeral, and then there's the family squabbles over stuff and things that were said and weren't said and could have been said and all of that. Many of you know that grieving is very personal, and there's no set timetable or no set script of how it's supposed to go. But very often, I've heard the caregiver come to me afterwards and express, "What do I do now? What do I do now?" They've spent so much of their life, literally, as a caregiver. Every hour, every thought, the other person was at the center of their activities. And once that all has ended, they are literally lost. Because up to that point, the other person had totally define their time, their activity, even their very sense of purpose was all wrapped up in the one that they loved so dearly and cared for without any thought of personal need or want. Now, imagine those feelings as we think back to the context of our reading from Jeremiah chapter 31. Imagine how the folks about 2,600 years ago might have felt. Because you see, 2,600 years ago, when Jeremiah was a prophet, this was a time when the people of Israel and Judah had lost everything. They had been God's chosen people. They had been recipients of many covenants with God, many promises where they would be God's special people, blessed to be a blessing to the whole world. God had given them the law, the Ten Commandments, and then the 613 other commandments and things for guidance so that they would know how to live and how they could identify themselves as God's special people. And they were promised that there would be an everlasting kingdom, first to David and then to his descendants forever. And there would be this temple. Solomon, David's son, would build a temple. And there God's very presence would dwell. That would be God's zip code. God would be there for them forever. They were God's precious people. God was with them, had promised never to forsake them. And then the Babylonians came, and they wiped it all away. Temple was gone. Their cities, one by one, had been destroyed. Many of their people, their leaders, and many of their important people had been killed or hauled away into exile. There was virtually nothing left. And they wondered, what do we do now? Our very sense of identity, all of those things that we loved have disappeared. And even God, has God forsaken us? What do we do now? The prophet Jeremiah had told them again and again that this was coming, that their worship of God had been only in form, but not in substance, that their worship of God really was rote. They would keep their laws and their rituals and do their sacrifices almost as a form that you go through and get it over with. But really what they truly worshiped was their own success and their own wealth and their own power. That's what was most important to them. And Jeremiah said, if that's what you worship and not God, don't be surprised if it's taken all away from you. And it was. And they were absolutely distraught. What do we do now? We have nothing. We don't have a country. We don't even have a God anymore. The temple is gone. Where is God? Did God abandon us? Are we all alone? And who am I? My meaning and purpose for being is no more. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet, and he said and did some pretty outrageous things to get his point across. But in chapters 31 and 32, he has a moment where he tells them that there is hope. There is hope. Even though they'd lost the very center of their lives, just when all human possibilities had run out, God offered them a new way, a new covenant, redemption, written on their hearts, not on stone tablets, not on 613 special commandments and rituals, no, a new covenant that would be written on their hearts. And most importantly, although Jeremiah doesn't say it, that new covenant will be written on God's heart, because that's where it'll be based from now on. Not in a temple, not, you know, in descendants, not in kingdoms or kings, but centered on your heart and God's heart. Some have described it as Jeremiah predicting that they would have open heart surgery. Their hearts of stone would be replaced with hearts of flesh, hearts that feel, hearts of love, hearts that were based not on ritual or transactions, but on relationship, a relationship of love. This new covenant was not based on external laws, 10 of them or 613 of them or any of them. It wasn't based on a series of transactions, you know, where you go and you sacrifice your goat or your dove and that somehow assuages your sin, that somehow that puts you closer to God. You tithe, you put in your tithe, and somehow God thinks more of you. That transaction stuff is all gone. It's no longer based on externals, but from inside, from the heart. That's where God's relationship, God's new covenant is going to live in your heart and in God's heart. They were going to be able to start over. God wouldn't need that transactional relationship of sacrifices and brownie points where you do good and God will love you more, or you do bad and God loves you less. All of that is gone, and it's now a covenant written on our hearts and on God's heart. Think back to the caregiver in my opening illustration. That person didn't do any of those things as a transaction. Not out of any effort to get something back, not out of any give and take, quid pro quo. Those things were done simply, purely, always out of love. Simply love. And sometimes, you know, it wasn't pretty, but it was all about love. God's love for us, our love for God. That's how this new covenant, this new relationship is going to work. Just a few verses before our text, Jeremiah has one of the most beautiful short descriptions of it that I've ever read. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have committed my faithfulness to you. God commits to be faithful to us, even when we are not. God's love for us is forever, eternal, everlasting. Now, this was 2,600 years ago. Fast forward about 600 of those years, and you come to Jesus, who offered a new covenant, perhaps the same covenant. That new covenant, this time in his blood, from his love, from his self-sacrifice for us, from God's heart to our hearts. It's not anything we know any longer have to do to make God love us. There's never anymore this list of things that if we do them, we're outside of God's acceptance and love. God has promised a new covenant from his heart. I will love you with an everlasting love. Holy Week is coming, Good Friday, Easter. We will see the depths of that love. We will see that love written on God's heart, and not as a transaction, but as an expression of our love in return. We will serve our living, risen Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.